When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast once again, episode 7. I am the Owl, Ramesh Ranganathan, joined by the Wolf, Tom Davis. Hello, mate.
Yeah. Do you think there'll ever come a time when, like, we've done so many of these and you'll forget what number we're at?
Oh, that will happen. Yeah. I imagine once we get to sort of the final few episodes, like 12, 13, we just won't bother with the numbers anymore. Do you know what has happened though? Because I was looking at the emails earlier, and one of the things I think you and I talked about why it's called The Wolf and Owl in one of the lost tapes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Because we've had quite a few emails about why the hell we're called The Wolf and Owl. There is no real reason, is there? I mean, you just came up with the name. I don't think there's a real
explanation. No, there's nothing deep or meaningful behind it. But a lot of people have said it's really apt. To me, there's been a lot of buzz about, like...
And what did you say? What does apt mean?
No, I'm like, I get it, yeah.
Why do you think it's apt? Why did they say it's apt?
Well, because I'm quite wolfish. Like the wolf, the prowler, the sort of cool, calm, collected wolf. And you're like the bookish owl. So it's like the two, it kind of works in that sense. It's like the perfect name for me.
I'll be honest with you. I think owl is good for me. Now that we're talking about it, I think owl is good for me. I don't know about wolf for you, if I'm being absolutely honest.
Whoa! With these names, that is a big thing to say to one of your best friends and the person. Essentially, these names are like...
Tom.
These are like wedding rings, these names.
Don't make it out like that's the biggest insult you've ever had. What you can do, get off this podcast and go talk to Catherine. You're not going to fucking believe what Rom said. He said he thinks Wolf might not be completely appropriate as a nickname for me.
What would you have said would have been better than what? I think I'm like a wolf. All right, fair enough. I know what you mean. I probably could have been lion. Wolf or lion.
No, that's not what I'm thinking.
What would you have gone with?
I don't. It's difficult now because whatever I go with, you're going to sort of get upset by.
No, I won't. I swear on my life. I swear down, brother, right? You say what whatever it is you think. Not that we're going to change the name of the podcast because we haven't. I'd be lying if I said we've spent a lot of money on publicity because we've spent nothing. It's just a fluke that people have even found it. But what would you have said would have been more apt?
I would have said something like a polar bear.
A polar bear? That's too niche for it. You couldn't call this the polar bear and the owl.
No, I know. I'm not saying in terms of a podcast name. I absolutely agree with you. well, two things. I'm not suggesting that we call it the polar bear in the owl. But also, equally, your assertion that polar bear is too niche. I don't think it reads properly. I don't think it's too niche. I don't think anybody's going to go, it's weird, it's called the polar bear in the owl, but I don't really know what a polar bear is. People know what a polar bear is. It's quite a mainstream animal, I would say.
If we were called not that we're going to change the name of it, because again, branding is important to me. If we'd gone down the Polar Bear Avenue, it'd have been pretty cool being called the Polar Bear and the Snow Weasel.
Okay, so what you've done now is you've made up
is it not a Snow Weasel or a Snow Otter?
Is what you've done.
A Snow Otter?
Snow Otter? I don't know, because otters are like, I'm looking this up now. Snow Weasel sounds like it should be.
I think there is a Snow Weasel. I swear I've seen an Eskimo talking about that on a documentary.
You've seen it. First of all, you should be referring to them as Inuits.
Right. Okay.
Secondly, oh my God, mate, there's fucking, there is a snow weasel.
Oh, mate. Oh. I'll tell you what, that the polar bear and the snow weasel would have been another good name. It's too sort of climate based, I suppose, isn't it, in a way?
Yes, and then we'd have to start going into environmental issues.
By the way,
on the
basis of like we did just pick the name out of the hat with the Wolf and Owl. When you Google Wolf and Owl pictures, there's so many.
It really does hammer home the idea that the name of this podcast is nowhere near as original as we initially thought.
Yeah,
I mean the fact that there are millions of images of a wolf and
also owl. That we paid for images. Like someone to make our own image. Big shout out to Tony Cartwright for doing that. But also, do you know a woman contacted me this week about doing like a Wolf and Owl jumper?
What do you mean?
Like a picture of a Wolf and Owl together. Like,
okay.
I don't want to
cast aspersions on this woman or anybody that wears any kind of clothes, but I've seen people wearing jumpers with wolves on them and
quite a few. We're rolling around the capital this week.
I have never seen one of them and thought, that's the type of person I want to hang out with. So.
I did say to her, just look, knock up a design and sort of send them over and I'll see what me and Mom think.
Of course you did. Yeah, if it's, look, if we're after merch. If anybody's after knocking us up some merch, we're well open to it. While we're talking about the name of the podcast, I do want to deal with another little bit of admin, which is to do with the theme tune. A lot of people have said you've never said who's responsible for the theme tune. So I just want to clear this up. So there's a producer, a DJ actually, called Revert, who I met years ago. And I approached him to do the beat for this, for the podcast. He came up with it, and then the rapper Michael Payne was kind enough to bless us with the bars.
Yeah,
and so it's a one time collaboration between those two. I don't think they've worked together before, so they were kind enough to hook us up. And it is probably, I think it's fair to say, it's the most professional. No, sorry, the image that's being disparaging about the image. I'd say the image and the song are the most professional aspects of the podcast, aren't they?
The rest of it is just two blokes running down a high street with their trousers around their ankles, hoping that things turn out okay. Really.
Yeah, but listen, if things carry on this way, give us 2 months, that will be us, literally. Now, I've got a couple of emails, because last week we were talking about, amongst other things, we were talking about the Alien episode.
Yeah.
And we talked about the fact that we hadn't had any feedback about the Alien episode. And obviously, as a result of doing that, we got loads of feedback about it. And also, it's the other thing of like people, it's one of those things where, do you know when you say to somebody in conversation, I'm not very attractive?
Yeah. Well,
you just say it as a throwaway thing because neither of us think we're very attractive. And then the other person goes, oh no, you shouldn't say that. You're really good looking. You're really attractive. Honestly, one of my mates, we were having a chat and we were actually saying you're quite hot. You know one of them?
The worst one is when they say you're really really attractive in your own way.
Oh. Unconventional. I've been told I'm unconventionally attractive.
Oh mate, yeah.
I've many times. It's about three.
I've had all of them were Lisa.
Message
me going, oh my God, this is so weird. But my friend has a crush on you. You're like,
oh yeah, yeah. Can I just say something? When you tweet or message saying, is it mad or is it weird or is it, am I the only one? Okay, it's fucking insulting. It doesn't matter
also,
what you say after that.
Let me tell you, it is fucking insane. There's not a day that goes by that I don't look at my wife and think, what the fuck, look, like question the choice that she's fucking made.
Yeah, yeah. It's really weird to feel so unattractive that the fact that your wife is with you takes a gloss off her a little bit as a person. So... Anyway, we've had some. I've just taken three, okay, to give you a bit of a little cross section, right? Because there were loads of them. So the first one from Xavier Redqua, he says, "Hey guys," he says, "Hey guys, just wanted to say I'm loving the podcast. The aliens episode was great. Don't take it down." That was the first one. Right? The next one, I think, slightly more honest. Kevin Brown, he says, hello. It was okay and a nice surprise, but I can see why you dropped the theme format. So,
in all fairness, Kevin is speaking the truth there. I can't knock Kevin for that.
And then Bevan Jones has said, dear Tom and Rom, brackets, yeah, it does spell check to Tom. So that's just a little bit of validation for the point I made last week. I enjoyed the Aliens episode, but I can only attribute the lack of feedback down to it being Christmas. However, I think because it caught people off guard, it felt like that uncle you don't talk about, not because he's a pedo, but because he's weird and harmless, has a very specific niche interest and invites himself around once a year, but annoys your mum and dad by not helping to clear up after dinner. Very, very, very specific.
Well, that's a very, very specific thing to compare an episode of a podcast to. Such a strange way of, like...
Yeah, I think that... Do you know what that... By the way, thank you, Bevan, for that. That suggests to me... I don't want to insult you or anything, but that suggests to me that you may have drafted that email a couple of times, sat back, chuckled to yourself, sort of punched it up a little bit, maybe sent it to a mate, see if he could add any gags, and then submit it. It's pretty good.
Xavier seems like he's just literally just typed it out and just gone, yeah, I'm just going to validate them a little bit and just be quite sweet.
These two guys whose podcast I listen to need some self-esteem help. I mean, that's so tragic, isn't it?
How pathetic are we as well that we actually... We are pathetic on the basis that we asked for this validation.
Oh, it's just last week. I don't think about us last week. We put out the Aliens episode and we got no feedback. I don't know why we bother. We actually didn't bother. It was a fucking old recording that we just stuck out.
Actually, the producer, James, who's brilliant, by the way, and amazing... Who basically said, yeah, let's just do this. And then we had to... How pathetic. That's like literally sort of like dragging yourself around a football pitch for 90 minutes and then sort of while someone else has scored a hat-trick, someone else has scored four goals and you fucking like towed away a corner and you're still going, oh, what about the corner I towed away? No one seems to be speaking about that. So pathetic. Do you know, actually, that's one of the lowest points of my life. Actually, now that's even worse because this becomes like even more pathetic than we're feeling pathetic.
Yeah, because what'll happen now is we'll get a load of emails going, I didn't think it was pathetic. Don't be so hard on yourselves.
Just,
and then we'll be fucking talking about that next week.
The two of us need a fucking good talking to. So if you do email, enjoy the show today, by all means. But if you do just email and go, look, I think it was a bit pathetic.
Let's just be absolute. We apologise for what happened last week. Let's be absolutely honest. We couldn't be asked to record a new episode, so we just put out some piece of shit from the archives. And then, when we didn't get the requisite amount of feedback that our pathetic egos felt was necessary, we then complained about it on the following episode. So actually, we are actually Wolf and Owl shit, is what we are. On behalf of Tom Davis and myself, I'm very sorry. It's absolutely shameful, our behaviour.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom, what have you been up to, brother?
My G, I've just knocked the top off. I'm just sitting there, episode one of Married at First Sight Australia, which is, I think, one of the most sublime bits of television ever created. The last series was up there with the best TV I've ever seen.
So how does Married at First Sight work? What is it?
So it's like 10 couples.
Yeah.
And basically, you get to the altar and you've never met the person you're going to marry, right? I've actually made that sound a lot more cool because the name itself speaks for what happens. You go down the aisle, the guy turns around, sees the bride or other groom. They meet for the first time, they get married, and then we watch their journey for the next like 8 to 10 weeks.
Is there any kind of selection process before that happens?
There's like scientists, like a rigorous amount of scientists who go through.
A rigorous amount of scientists?
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, that's not the word. Rigorously go. These scientists are very rigorous.
So the number of scientists isn't rigorous, but the scientists
they're very rigorous in there. They're like a very intense, they're the top scientists in Australia, basically. Who get together and work out, does this chemistry work? Are these people going to work? Will this love work?
And how does this rate in terms of TV experiences?
It's up there, man. It's up there. It's not as good as The Sopranos, but there's at times I've been on the edge of my very...
fucking hell. why can't you... you got to qualify shit, bro. Like, I know you're really enjoying it, but this is, listen, this is one of the things with you, is you get very caught up with whatever you're into at the moment, right? You've got to fucking at least give some sort of concession to genre, right? I'm sure it's a great show. You cannot, you absolutely, it's not quite as good as Sopranos.
Well, okay, reality TV wise, it's up there with the best reality TV ever made.
Fine. It's up there with the best reality TV ever made, but you're not
saying
it's
better.
You're not
TV
saying
show.
It's better than Breaking Bad.
No. But, mate, at times you're sitting there and you are gasping, mate. You're gasping. You're absolutely like, oh my God.
Why? What happens?
Fights, people say things, breakups, get back togethers, affairs. It's really, mate, it. At times you are literally, you're in a whirlwind, mate. Sometimes you're like, I've had to press pause on my TV and go walk outside and go, what has just happened?
Okay. Is that an exaggeration?
Yeah, it's probably 70% of it. Like, I've exaggerated the last 30.
So how much of it is true?
I've pressed pause. Yeah, got up and gone, I can't deal with this emotionally right now. I need to walk.
I mean, what? How does Catherine... How does she respond to you doing that?
She says, I don't know why you get so invested in this show.
Yeah.
She
says, honestly, I swear to God, if you say this is better than The Sopranos again.
No, it was quite a lot of trepidation to whether we watch this one again, watch it, because I got so involved in the last one.
Right.
I was nearly in tears at one point when my favourite couple looked like they weren't going to make it.
That can't be true.
I genuinely got really upset. It was during lockdown. Maybe it was a lockdown. I don't know. And I wasn't having much interaction with any other human beings. So these people became my friends. Do you want to know? Right. I don't know why I'm saying this. This is...
Go on.
So there was a couple in the last series called Tev and Sarah. Right?
Okay.
And as soon as the series finished, I looked into like who had made it as a couple. And I genuinely, Tev and Sarah were my favourites.
So you Googled it afterwards?
Yeah. This gets worse, right?
God.
And I noticed that they didn't make it. And so I went on to all the different like social media channels.
Please tell me that you didn't contact them.
I contacted Tev and just said,
What social media did you find?
On Instagram. I slid into his DMs. And I said, sorry to say that you didn't make it, man, with Sarah. I was generally hoping that, yeah. Mm. And then I sort of had to validate who I was. So I was like, I'll commit.
You didn't say, you didn't fucking give your CV, well, did you?
No, I
did
just...
Did you send him a link to Murder and Successful?
No, he wouldn't get that in Australia.
So you thought about it, that means?
No, I sent him a message, right?
Yeah.
And then I sat back and I just thought about it and thought, oh, maybe it's a bit weird that I've sent this guy a message just saying, I'd like, you know, sorry to hear that you haven't made it. I hope things are okay. And, you know, you and the kids are well. And then from there, I sent him another message just saying, oh, I'm from the UK. I'm a comedian and an actor over here. So,
oh my God.
I work in the industry.
Why? Yeah.
He
doesn't work in the industry. He doesn't work in the industry, Tom.
Well, no, he does a lot of like media appearances, and he turns up at
off the back of doing Married at First Sight. Doesn't mean you're in the same industry.
I just felt like I wanted to get in touch with him, and just and then I just weirdly thought that then he'd go, oh, this isn't that weird that now,
What did he say?
I saw that he saw them, but he never got back to me.
Oh my God! Of course he didn't. He's probably, you know, when they do those shows, they're trained to avoid. Like weirdos.
Yeah, but then you know what? The worst thing of it is I sat there and then I was like, every time my phone beeped after that, I was just hoping it was him. That he'd get back and go, oh, hey, mate, thanks for all your support. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. You know, if you're ever out in Australia, let's grab a beer or something.
Okay. If he said that.
Yeah.
And you went to Australia. Let's hope beyond hope that you wouldn't book a trip specifically. Let's just assume that you happen to be going to Australia for some filming or something. You wouldn't arrange to meet up with him, would you?
Yeah, of course I would. If he
messaged me... You don't know this guy!
Yeah, but I've spent so long with him.
He doesn't know you, Tom.
Right. I know him to be a very decent human being, right?
Right.
I think he's a pretty good egg from what I can judge on that reality show that I saw him in, right? If I was to go, I know that also, I think there's a few things we've probably got in common. Like, you know, he quite likes sport and stuff. He looks like he probably likes boxing. I know that he likes MMA.
Yeah. So people that like sport, boxing and MMA, very hard to come by, yeah.
So, no, if I found myself out in Melbourne, right, and I was just like, you know, hey, bud, it's Big T here. The guy messaged you after the...
You can't even blow it. You know what you did there? You tried to put some extra stank on the message and you couldn't even finish it.
I'm over in Melbourne. I'm out here with Ramesh doing some gigs and stuff. Do you want to meet up for a beer? Because then you could come along with me.
I absolutely wouldn't do that. And nor would I arrange to meet up with anyone.
Mate, if we were in Melbourne together, right, this is a sign of friendship.
If we were in Melbourne together, I'd say to you, it's Melbourne. Why do you keep insisting on mispronouncing it? That's the first thing I'd say. Then what?
I came down to the breakfast bar, right? Sitting there, right? You're in your chino shorts and you've got a Lacoste t-shirt on, right?
Sure.
Flip-flops. Yeah. Over there, what do they call flip-flops, by the way?
Thongs.
Pair of thongs.
Yeah.
I come down, you're like, you know, your usual self is like, oh, there's no bloody vegan option for breakfast. I'm like, just have some cornflakes and leave it, mate. Right? And then I'm like, I've arranged to meet Tev from the show that I've been messaging. We've been DMing each other. Are you up for coming? We're going to have a couple of beers and watch a game of Aussie Rules. What would you say?
But you don't like Aussie Rules.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't know that. I'd turn up and go, hey, bro, how you doing?
So you're willing to pretend that you like a sport that you don't so you can meet up with a guy you saw on a reality show?
I just think I'd like to meet him to see what he's actually like. I don't even get starstruck by people. I just think we could be really good mates.
Okay.
Do you never feel that like that about anyone?
Sometimes I'll be watching something and I think to myself, I could imagine that I'd get on with that person. Never would I ever contact them, even if I had the means to, ever.
Well, you have the means to. Like, without a doubt, I have the means to.
And listen, let me tell you something. I love Thierry Henry, right? Like, love him. Absolutely love him. If I was at a restaurant and he was sat a couple of tables away, I wouldn't even say hello to him.
What?
I'm telling you.
I don't even love Thierry. I think he's great, Thierry Henry. If he was in a restaurant and I was in a restaurant, I'd walk past and just go, you're right, bro. That's life.
Why? Right. Why would you do that?
And he'd just be like, oh, hello, Tom.
Yeah. And then what have you got off that?
I'd probably just say, oh, I know Jamie Redknapp as well.
Yeah. Incredible assumption that he knows who you are. He's gone all right, Tom, has he?
I've actually done a show with him before.
You did the At Home with the Redknapps.
Yeah.
How was he on that?
He commented and he liked my beard. He asked what oil I used, which I actually said to him, well, I like your beard too. So
sometimes when I'm talking to somebody and I can't hook on to anything about them, sort of commenting on their beard sounds like the sort of thing you would talk about, isn't it? Oh, I really like your nose.
Well, that's probably all he knew about me is that I had a beard. I'm pretty sure that he'd not watched any of my stuff or investigated it. I genuinely thought for quite a long time, he thought I was just a producer on a show, one of Jamie's mates who was just sitting in on the call.
Now, hold on. After that had happened, because this is what I would have done. If I'd have been at home with the Redknapps, this is what I would do. If I'd been on the show with him and chatted to him, then I would have got in touch with him afterwards. I would have tried to turn that meeting, that working together, into like something else.
I tried that with two or three people on the show.
Right.
Not one of them got back to me.
Oh, mate.
That is literally... Do you know the only guest that we had on that show that I still speak to is you?
It's sort of weird. It feels like an insult, that.
Have you ever, like, when it comes to following people on Instagram or Twitter or something?
Yeah.
Have you ever been following someone for ages and pretend that you've just started following them when you've been at the thing?
No, and I certainly wouldn't admit to it on a podcast if I had done either.
No, I'm not saying
that. When have you done that?
I have done that before. I've been following someone for a while and they've gone, oh, I've just started following you. And I've gone, oh, yeah, same. It's like finding you when we got here too.
Why?
Just so they think, just so they're on a level playing field. So it's not like I'm, that like, I'll be following you for 15 years. You know what I mean?
Isn't it arguably quite nice if you tell someone I've been following it?
Yeah, I think it's nice. But then also, some people can get like, they think, you know, that you're just a bit of a fan then, rather than just like a cool
a
sort
peer.
Of. Yeah. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Or a colleague.
Right. Got it. Yeah. So is there anyone in that pops into your memory that you did that with?
No, I mean, I literally could go on and on about people I've pied myself, like I've been pied and made an idiot. Remember when we did it with Klitschko? We did League of Their Own with Klitschko, me and you did it.
Yeah.
I tried to sort of become friends with him. Nothing happened out of that.
What did you do?
Just messaged him and like sort of, yeah, he didn't even look at them. I don't
What did you say in the message?
I was like, oh, great stuff today. Thank you for the kind words about boxing. I think I'm probably too old to make it now, but yeah. I look forward to it.
You mean when he joked about your potential in the boxing ring?
Yeah.
So he might have walked away from that going, oh, I thought it was a funny joke I made on League of Their Own about Tom being potentially a boxer. And then you've got in touch with him and you've gone, thanks so much about your kind words about my boxing potential. I think I'm a bit old. And then Klitschko's thought, this guy really thinks I'm that fucking stupid. That I actually thought he might have some potential.
And then alongside that, I said, I look forward to reading your book.
Have you read his book?
I read half of it. It's not a great book.
Did you get back in touch with him to tell him that?
Yeah. Hey, Vladimir, halfway through your book there. I didn't make it to round six of your book. KO'd in round six.
TKO.
Stick to the fighting, son. Right, it's not your game. He's a strange character.
Yeah.
Vladimir. Like, yeah.
Rob had to, when we did Rob and Ron versus, we went to the Joshua Klitschko fight. We were doing all the build up to it, and I interviewed AJ, and then Rob interviewed Klitschko. I can't remember where he went. He went abroad. And Rob said it was intimidating.
Yeah, yeah. He's terrifying. He's terrifying. He was on the
team. It was the first interview Rob had ever done as well. Can you fucking imagine traveling abroad to interview Klitschko for your first ever interview?
Mate, like, he's intense and he has no sense of humour. Mm. Like, yeah. He's pretty full on as a guy.
There's one bit that I thought we were going to get absolutely fucked up on League. And that is where Jamie said, does he do the voice for the Compare the Maker advert?
He got really angry with that, didn't he?
I don't know if he did, actually. Like, he sort of... Do you think Klitschko knows what the Compare the Maker advert is?
I think
he
knew by the tone of it that it was Mickey. There was Mickey taking happening.
Well, he said it, and then we all started pissing ourselves laughing. He's probably thinking this is unlikely to be a compliment.
He at one point grabbed Freddie's chair quite hard. I remember that. And me and Freddie were like, "Oh god, yeah, yeah." He's one of the most terrifying people I've met in my life. But then also, I found him quite exciting to be around.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
In what way?
I just found him just sort of like, yeah. He just had an element of just sort of like fire around him.
Oh god.
What have you been up to this week?
Well, I wanted to ask you a question about this, actually, because I'm going to be straight up. I have found the lockdown tough mentally, and I do want to take this opportunity to thank you. Because you've been very good at texting me this week and just going, you're all right, mate. Are you sure you're all right? And even though I said, yeah, I'm okay, you obviously knew that I was struggling a bit. And so you've been checking in on me. So I appreciate that.
Well, that's what friends are for. And I think that's the thing. I think this time round, it is tough. It's hard, isn't it? I think it is. I knew that I sort of know you enough to know that when you're up or when you're down. And I personally found it tough this week as well. It's a hard, yeah. It's because I think we thought this was over, really. We thought we were coming to the end of it, coming out the back end of sort of November, December, didn't we? And here we are again. And you know what? I genuinely look forward to just doing this. This is like literally the social interaction. Because me and my wife are shielding at the moment, so we can't for one reason or another. So we can't even, this is literally all the social interaction I have.
Do you know, I think like when the first lockdown happened, obviously that was tough. But I think when I watched Boris Johnson's announcement and he said, the toughest weeks are yet to come. That was a proper head fuck. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so like psychologically, it was a tough one. So basically last couple of days, I found it quite tough. And then I thought I need to do something about it. So today I went for a walk, like a proper long walk to try and blow the cobwebs out. Right? And I was listening to music, whatever. And there's one particular song that became the earworm for my walk. Right. And it's a song called Did You See by Jay Huss.
Right.
Do you know this song?
No. I know Jay Huss.
Anyway, it's an absolute banger, right? And I was listening to it, and it's... Do you ever have this thing where you just stick a song on repeat over and over again?
Yeah.
So I must have listened to this song, I reckon, 15, 20 times in a row, right? I was probably smashing it out, right? But it's basically about checking a girl's arse out. You know, it's like, a lot of it is about checking a girl's arse out, right? And it sort of occurred to me, partway through, is it appropriate... sort of a fat father of three to be listening to a song where this guy's talking about sprinkling the bunda with holy water or whatever. I mean, am I too old to be listening to this music?
Let me just say something, right? Because you listen to that sort of music, right? You love your hip hop. You like your sort of cool or edgy music, right? I like show tunes. I had a moment like when I had to pick myself up, like yourself, I struggled this week, struggled last couple of weeks, really. And you're like, right, like you, I go every day. That's the one thing I do. Yeah. I try and ground myself by going, right, I'm going to do a workout and I'm going to do a long walk with a dog. And I had that thing the other day, I was stuck on a song and I had it playing over and over and over again. And the song was A Moment Like This by Leona Lewis, right?
Right.
And I'm pounding around the local fields and I've got the dog with me and I'm bowling and I don't look like from the way I'm walking that I'm listening to a moment like this, but it inspires me, that song. It really pumps me up. And then being on the dog walk, I get stopped 3 or 4 times for a bit. People like, you know, will just, you know, say hello or whatever. And, you know, I'll give them a nod. Yeah. And I think, would they in a million years think, oh, he's listening to A Moment Like This by Leona Lewis. It's such a weird thing.
It's so weird, right? Because like that Jay Huss song today, I just got into it because it's like super fucking catchy or whatever. And Jay Huss is amazing, right? But there's other times when it will be a song like what you're talking about. Like I remember, like I died on my ass at a gig once, right? And I was driving home. It was like a 2-hour drive, and it's like when you have comfort food, you can have comfort music, right?
Ah.
And so I listen to, because I love Back to the Future so much, right? I listen to The Power of Love.
It's a great song.
So many times. Like fucking like banging it out. I don't know what that is. Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because I thought I was the only prick that did that, man.
No, I'll tell you, this is one of the lowest moments of lockdown is I was cooking the other night and I stuck on Alexa and I stuck on the whole of The Greatest Showman.
Oh, my
the,
gosh.
Right. So I had like, this is The Greatest Show. And they know that This Is Me.
I don't know The Greatest Showman.
Mate, there's a song.
I'm not saying that. By the way, can I just say, before anybody fucking emails in, I'm not saying that to be cool. I just don't know it, all right?
No, mate. It's an incredible. But there's a song called This Is Me, right? And I have this song playing on. Right, this is playing in the kitchen, and I'm cooking.
How loud?
Reloading the dishwasher. Well, this is the thing. I ramp it up loud, right? And then I'm singing along to like sort of get along with the fact that the size of the music. And then from there, I start dancing with it. I really start projecting my voice and dancing. And I look round and my wife is standing at the other end of the kitchen, and genuinely the look on her face like was absolute, like, what the like, I genuinely think that she thought at that point I'd snapped. That was it. I heard her heart just shrivel up. I like like ever since then like genuinely I felt ashamed because I was really singing and I was really going for it and I was really like dancing and sort of like.
But do you know what? Do you know what? Look, what I'm going to say to you is this, right? It's embarrassing that you got caught, right? What's not not embarrassing is that you did it in the first place, right? Because,
oh, mate, do you know what?
I think putting on a song and properly going for it like you're in the video is one of life's great pleasures. Do you know what I mean? And I was a kid, right? When I was a kid, I used to do loads to like hip-hop, right? So much. And there's this song by the Lynch Mob called Gorillas in the Mist, right? And it's a properly aggressive hip-hop song. And I knew every single word of it. And I used to like recreate it in my... I used to recreate loads of rap songs in my bedroom, right? But I remember once I did the whole of Gorillas in the Mist, right? Properly going for it. And I looked at the door and one of my brother's mates had watched the entire performance, right? And like, I just looked at him and he just went, oh, that was good. And I just thought, I'm fucking dead. But like, that is socially at that age.
Yeah.
I must have been like 12.
Oh, mate.
I just thought, it's over. You're going to have to fucking emigrate, yeah, man. Like, you're not going to survive this.
And by emigrate, you mean to move to another county. Start going to school in Croydon. Mate, things like that, I tell you, at school, yeah, they're the worst. You can't get through those. They're the worst things. But I mean, to be fair, actually, I think maybe it might be even worse standing there dancing in front of an Alexa in a kitchen when you're making a fucking spaghetti bolognese, giving it large to the greatest showman. That might be that. You're the person you love the most in the world looking at you.
Yeah, I think it's better because she sort of understands that. I mean, I can't imagine that sort of behaviour has come as a surprise. This is a guy who tries to make friends with people he sees on reality shows. This is that guy. Do you know what I mean? He wears his heart on his sleeve. He puts himself out there.
Have you ever seen Central Intelligence with The Rock?
No, I haven't, no. Is that worth watching?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good film. But the opening of that, there's a bit moment where he's dancing in a shower and he's sort of, the whole film hangs on that. And that's how I felt.
The whole film, Central Intelligence, hangs on a scene where The Rock is dancing in the shower?
Pretty much,
why?
Yeah. I'm not going to... You don't want to spoiler on that film, brother. You need to watch it. I told you this ages ago, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I said to you ages ago, watch it. It's a really good... I enjoyed it a lot. Kevin Hart's on great form.
Do you want to do an email?
Let's do a sweet, sweet email, baby. Okay.
I'm going to do one that's got two parts to it, all right?
I like a two-part.
This is from Vishnu, all right? Hi, Wolf and Al. Thank you so much for creating this podcast. Apologies in advance for the wordy email. I have two possible requests for advice from the both of you in the next episode. Rom, you mentioned in a previous episode your experience of being pulled out of the queue of a club, finding yourself in a sea of other brown people. Thank you for mentioning this, as this is an experience I have faced multiple times, most recently in Birmingham, where I was forced to Trojan horse my way in, surrounded by some white geezers in order to join my friends in a club. The issue I faced when relaying this story to other white friends, they rushed to make excuses or deny the validity of the story. Props to Tom for not doing this to you. How would you guys deal with friends who've reacted in this way? Well, first question I would have is, if you're queuing up for a nightclub in Birmingham and they pull out all the brown blokes, how many people are left in that queue? I mean, that would be my first question. You must be left with what? Three random white blokes that sort of tagged in as tokens. Tom, props to you for not dismissing the story. Have you ever had this thing where people have denied? I don't know what this question is. How would you respond to white people that deny racism?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure it probably happens. I think my thing would be, number one, why weren't your friends going in with you? Why weren't you queuing up with your friends in the first place? Mm. If you got dragged out of the queue and you're with a group of white guys, you're the only person who gets dragged out of the queue for no said reason. I think it's pretty clear at that point that it probably is a racially motivated thing. So I think you shouldn't have to prove to your friends on that basis that that's happened. I mean, long and short of it, mate, I would say, Vishnu, just go and get some new friends, because you'll sound like an absolute bunch of pricks.
There you go. Okay, the second part of this email, right, is this second topic is slightly less important. And I don't mean to bring down the tone of the podcast by asking you this. As I'm sure both of you are aware, lockdown has been a tricky situation for the best of us. One of the saving graces for me has been the group chats that I share with two friends from university. Now, these WhatsApp groups are something that have become, I mean, they've become a bit of a problem. Not a problem. They have become something that people have started to lean on. But anyway, he goes on. This chat has been a welcome distraction and source of comfort throughout 2020. However, recently, the other members have picked up a disgusting habit, sending photos of each other's fecal matter to the group, even going so far as renaming the group Fart Club and sending voice notes of their gaseous releases. I'm not a prude, but recently a photo was sent that genuinely looked like pulled pork, and I almost threw up. I'd really rather not leave the group out over this. How do I tell my friends that I'd rather this not be the direction that our group chat goes in?
Oof.
Now, I'm assuming this is a separate set of friends to the racist deniers that you normally hang out with. Tom, you got any thoughts on this?
I mean, that's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough one. We were in a group, weren't we, a couple of Christmases ago, where that happened, Rom. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I won't name names, but me and you were in a group.
Yeah, without naming names, we have been in a group where... the subject of the chat was Yule log, and I'll just leave that with you. That was a tricky one. What did you think about that, Tom? I mean, yeah. that feels like the sort of thing you don't mind.
No, if I'm honest with you, I'm in groups where that's happened. I've also jumped onto the poo club bandwagon. I've many a time put up. If I'm honest with you, when I've done a big dump and I look at it and I go, that's a fucking healthy looking crap, I will put a picture up in a group.
Can I tell you why I don't do that?
Go on.
It's not because I think I'm above it. It's not because I don't think it's funny, because I do think it is quite funny, if I'm being honest with you. I do think it's disgusting, but it's quite funny. My problem is I have this inbuilt paranoia that somebody will be able to discern that there's something seriously wrong with me from something in my shit.
Wow.
Like somebody might look at it and go, oh, mate, I'd think about going to a doctor if I was you. It shouldn't look like that. Do you know what I mean? That's genuinely the main reason why I wouldn't do it.
They'd have to do a bit of zooming in for that. But listen, pal, this is what I'd say to you. As much as I find it funny, and I'm sure Romesh would agree, Romesh, I do remember you did put a picture up of a poo. So
no, I didn't. No, I didn't. Hold on. What are you talking about?
I'll go back to that and find a picture of your poo.
Tom, I'm telling you now, I did not put a picture up of my poo. Can I tell you something? I do remember putting a picture up of a poo, but I Googled shit in a toilet.
Right. I put up a really big picture.
Right. Tom is now currently looking through the WhatsApp chat.
Actually, Rom, you're right, mate. You didn't put up a picture of poo. You're the
only... Oh!
I put up...
Oh! Is that a sting?
Wow, man. Fuck, that's your first right.
That's not my first... Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
I've just scrolled through it and I've literally scrolled back for a bit, right? And then I looked through I sent four pictures in that group of shits. It was only equaled by the person who made the group.
Yeah, and he is like notorious for it. So you're up there, up there with the addict for that, aren't you?
But let me say, so what my point was is this. If during that group chat someone had said, guys, I don't like the way that this chat is going. I don't like the fecal matter and I don't feel comfortable with it. I certainly wouldn't have, I would have just said, cool, man. And I probably wouldn't have put up another per that group. I'd have probably just started another group somewhere else of just fecal matter, kept the group that person and let the banter commence that way. But I think you have to be honest when it comes to these things. You have to say how you feel, because otherwise you're just going to spend a long, long time phone pinging, probably twice a day, with pictures of big poos. And that's not going to make you happy, mate. You know, you can do this. I believe in you. So go and tell them.
So Vishnu, our advice to you is to say to your friends, if you want to put up pictures of your shit, then set up a separate group for that.
Because also, if it's just three of you from what you've said, I think in the group, right? You at the moment are basically there as a, what's the word, Ron? When someone's there, you take someone with you to a date.
Third wheel.
Yeah, not a third wheel. It's a sort of like...
Gooseberry.
Yeah, so if you're not involved, my friend, it is just two guys sending pictures of poos to each other. Mm. it's not a group anymore. It's just a pair of blokes just saying, oh, this is my poo this morning, Dean, or Carl, or whoever else.
Also, the recordings of fart things is, it's weird. It's a weird flex. What I would say, though, Vishnu, is it happens to a lot of people. Like, I'm on a couple of group chats, and Tom, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes with a couple of the group chats, because you have all these sort of different subsets of mates and colleagues and stuff like that, there are some group chats where they'll send something, and I just think that is what people I hang out with think is funny.
Yeah.
And not only that, they think I'd find that funny as well. It really does make you think, what the fuck is going on with my life? Do you know what I mean? This is what my peer group think is something that we should find funny.
Yeah.
It blows my fucking mind.
Yeah.
And you listen, let's get it out there. We've all seen that black guy's cock, what, 1,000 times in the last 3 months? And the number of times my children...
Do you still fall for that? Do you know the saddest thing, right, is, and I love you to death, right, and you're such a sweet guy, genuinely, but there's times in another group we're in where we get sent a video and I will see that video and go, this is definitely, if I press play on this video, it's just going to be pornography noises to this video, right? The amount of times that you've opened that video and I can sit and you just write back and go, oh, for fuck's sake, man. Oh, fucking hell, mate. You still fall for it. You're still like the person.
Mate, the number of times my children have heard the noises of that woman. Do you know what? It's not even shocking to them anymore. So anyway, Vishnu, I guess what we're saying is I guess we're sort of saying get new friends, actually. That's a double for both of that.
But also, Vishnu, you're not on your own. We all feel like that sometimes when it comes to these WhatsApp groups. You know, sometimes people overstep the line. And you know what? People have done that for centuries. Back in the old days of old, when people were sitting around, the knights were sitting around the round table, one of them probably said something, the rest of them were like, oh, fucking hell, he's pushed that too far. Or Lancelot was like, all right, let's just not talk about who's been for crap in the woods. You know, let's try and have, you know, it's always happened.
I mean, it's a story that goes back in the ages. So don't feel like, you know, it's WhatsApp now, but back in the old days, it would have been cave paintings or something.
Well, like an old scroll that's just been delivered by a pigeon.
There's probably other versions of the Bayeux tapestry that are just all fucking cocks and like people have done a massive shit or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, just banter tapestries. There must have been banter tapestries.
Gandalf would have hated them. But then Frodo at first, before he became all weird, and like Sam Wachowski and all them, we're all fucking always on it.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings reference.
Yeah, no, it's a Lord of the Rings reference, but it's weird to bring that up alongside sort of the round table and stuff. It sort of feels like you're mixing your myths there a bit.
I'm just thinking about old things.
Right, okay, got you. right. Oh, also, Vishnu says, just as a closer there, when Tom says Bill and Ted, it sounds like he's saying Bell and Ted.
All right. Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted.
Say it again.
That's interesting, right? Bill and Ted.
Yeah. I mean, Vishnu, bearing in mind that you've sort of had a go about your mates being a bit immature, feels like you might be equally as guilty there, if I'm being honest with you. Now, Tom.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you before I ask you to close off the podcast.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of, as I always do, I had a couple of technical issues.
Yeah.
For a long portion of this podcast, I was put off by the fact that about a second after I've said anything, I could hear myself saying it back into my headphones. Now, were you aware that I was slightly off kilter for any portion of this podcast?
No, not really. I mean, sometimes I will talk and you will look like you are trying to wade through mud and try and decide what I'm saying anyway. I think you've come across very well.
Great, thanks, Tom. And I think, I think you've been brilliant on today's episode.
Well, thank you very much. I think you've just been a credit to the world of podcasting, sir. And let me just say, I do you know what, at the moment, just keep, since he said about Bill and Ted, I just keep thinking about the lyrics to God Give Rock and Roll to You.
Oh, mate, what a tune. What a tune.
Yeah. If you're a lead singer or you play a guitar, man, you got to rock or you won't get far, because it's never too late to be working 9 to 5.
Who would have thought? I never would have guessed that you would have been able to bring the words to your memory that quickly.
Well, I'm pretty good like that with songs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, listen. Can you please do us the honour of taking us out?
Yo, what up? How you doing? I'm okay. Be you. These are just texts that you send, but they actually really matter. See, whether it's a text to check in to see if someone's okay, or it's a text to show that you've left a whole flock of sparrows at the back of a toilet pan. We live in weird times, strange times. And sometimes to build a bridge or hand out an olive branch, the only means we have is those sweet, sweet texts, the little beep that comes, and you look and you listen. And sometimes you will find it hard to text back. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes you might judge someone because they send a picture of a man with a phenomenally big penis. But at the basis of most of these texts, apart from trolling, there's a good-spirited meaning of friendship. So don't judge thou too hard. Look inside what the text really means. And look inside yourself. Because maybe, just maybe, all someone really needs at the end of the day is a picture of your own shit. God bless you guys. Remember, friends are there. I don't care, but friends are there for you.
That was beautiful, man.
Well, yeah,
is it possible, could the accusation be leveled that you sort of weren't sure how to finish that?
Yeah, you know what? I was really disappointed. I couldn't remember the lyrics for, because I sort of shouted my mouth off about remembering lyrics to songs, but I couldn't remember the lyrics to the Golden Girls.
Oh, thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is free. You're a friend and a confidant.
Oh, man.
And if I was to have a party and invite along everyone I knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me. And the card attached would say,
thank you for being a friend. Oh,
there we go.
Guys, take care. James, please drop that in the edit. We'd love to go out to the Golden Girls, providing that there are no licensing issues. Tom, thank you so much, brother.
Love you, my man. Love you, my G.
Love you too, mate. Take care. Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.